You are listening to the weekly podcast of Renovate Life Church of God in MacArthur, Ohio. We pray you enjoy today's message.
I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 18, verse 5. I don't want to be selfish this morning, but a couple weeks ago, I got the results back from my test from the James, and I don't have to have chemotherapy or radiation. I did do a test a couple weeks ago, well, a couple days ago. They put some, it was the absolute worst thing I've ever done in my life. They put this probe down me, and I'll know the results of that in a couple weeks. How many know that God is a healer? I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 18, verse 5. I stand before you a miracle this morning, and I believe there's other miracles in the house. I want to talk to you about experiencing your breakthrough. In Luke chapter 18, verse 5, the Bible says, "Yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Let's pray. God, asks today, Father, that your presence continue to be in this place. Lord, you've given this church every talent, every ability, every person in this place, Father, to reach out to the community of MacArthur for you. Lord, they may be sitting there today broken and messed up, but today is the day of their salvation. Today is the day of their breakthrough. God, I pray that you touch them right where they sit, Father. Lord, walk down their aisle, Lord, and touch them. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you begin to fall like never before on Renovate Life. Oh, I feel the presence of revival. I feel the presence of the power of God. Lord, give them ears to hear and a heart that is open to your word. Father, we love you. We praise you and we lift you up, and above you, there is no other. In Jesus' precious name, the church said, amen. I guess in the days of sermon series, this is not going to be that. What do you do when you're going through a battle? You know, we pray breakthrough. That's the word that we use. I need a breakthrough. When you talk to people and they've got an issue, well, the fact of the matter is, they'll say, I need a breakthrough. I got an issue that I can't seem to get under control. I feel like I'm right on the verge of a breakthrough. Now, ultimately, breakthrough comes after breakdown. If you're willing to stay the course, if you're willing to keep the dream, if you're willing to stick with the vision, are you hearing me? Go on, even though what you see does not agree with what God told you. No, God, breakdown. Webster's Dictionary defines breakdown. I feel the presence of God this morning. Webster's Dictionary defines breakdown as a mechanical failure. The Hebrew word describes it this way: to strike down, to hammer, ultimately to bring into submission. The Greek is to pull it down into pieces, to destroy it, to break through it. When do you experience breakthrough? You know what I believe? I believe that God speaks to me, and I'm not speaking this message to you by accident. I believe there's some people sitting in the house that need a breakthrough. They've cried, and they've prayed, and they've asked God to do it, and it seems like the ceilings are brass, but I'm telling you today, there's a breakthrough coming in your life. When do you experience breakdown? There's four things that I put down. When we feel as if what we're trying to accomplish isn't working, we have a breakdown. When a loved one is sick or in trouble, we feel helpless or hopeless, we have a breakdown. When we don't have our provision coming, in the midst of all the circumstances that surround us, we have a breakdown. Come on, somebody. When we have a personal crisis that seems to overwhelm us, you know, what is that overwhelming thing? You can't go under it, and you can't go over it, and you can't go to the left of it, and you can't go to the right of it. It has overwhelmed me. It's my circumstance. It's my storm. It's the tidal wave that's hitting me. But I'm here to tell you today, when you call on the name of Jesus, Jesus will help you. He's a healer. He's a mighty God. Some of you didn't come here for this morning. This widow. That's right, some of you did. That may be the best thing I heard all day. The widow had to have a breakdown before she could get her breakthrough. In Luke chapter 18, verse 3, now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. My adversary, what is that word in the Greek? The word means your rival, your enemy, your foe. I like this one, your nemesis. There's some nemesis in the house. There's some people that oppose what you're doing. But I'm here to tell you, you serve a great big God. Your breakthrough is coming because you believe in Jesus. Your breakthrough's just around the bend because you believe in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, hey, listen, I don't know if you came here to see one of those preachers that stand right here, but I'm not that. There's a lot in life that comes against us. There's a lot of foes. There's a lot of enemies. There's a lot of rivals. You know, some rivals used to be friendly. Some rivals used to be our employers. Some rivals we used to connect with. But now, for some reason, we can't connect. I'm going to tell you why. Because God is moving you forward. He's moving you up. Your breakthrough's just around the bend. Can I tell you something else? Sometimes we are enemies to ourselves. We get blindsided by the struggle. It's an epidemic in our lives. It's the epidemic that ails us. Can I say it that way? We can't break out because we feel that we've got to break down. We get tunnel vision because there's all these circumstances that surround us. The storm is bigger than us. I'm telling you, the disciples talked about the storm being bigger than them. But what you don't seem to understand and you don't seem to realize is Jesus put the baby church in the boat and he went up to pray. Listen, your storm is coming. He knows it's coming. But to make you better, he's going to give you a breakthrough. Oh, we feel broken. You ever just feel broken? I believe there's people in the house that just feel broken. They can't seem to get a grip. They don't know what's going on. Let me tell you, Job 10 and 1 says, my soul loathes my life. Oh, some of you feel like that. Some of you are depressed. Some of you are anxious. Some of you are apathetic. Listen, my soul loathes my life. I will give free course to my complaint. I will speak into the bitterness of my soul. Listen, don't you feel like that sometimes? You can't just get a breakthrough. You just want to break down. You want to fall to pieces. You want to cry. You want to snot. You want to say, God, why don't you help me? You help that goof over there, but you just won't help me. I'm telling you this, that is Satan warring against your mind. You just stand on the word of God and you begin to declare who he is, and you're going to get your breakthrough. Some of us think, well, Job's just saying words, but he's crying out. He's pleading. Breakdown can attack your emotions. Breakdown attacks your vision. Breakdown attacks you moving forward. When you break down, you're stuck in one position. You can't seem to move. You can't seem to get yourself together. Is there anybody in the house that feels like, I believe I'm speaking to some people that are right on the verge of breakthrough. God help me. You know, I believe changes come when we just go ahead and break down. Listen, we got broken dreams. We got broken promises. We got broken relationships. We got brokenness due to guilt. We got brokenness due to sin. Now, all of those things can keep you broken, and they can haunt you, and they can keep you stuck in that situation. The widow, the Bible says, had lost the love of her life. Think about it. Now the enemy had taken something from her. She couldn't get it back. She would never get it back. At least that's what she thought. It must have been something very valuable to her. The Bible never tells what it is. It just shows by the way she talks that it's valuable. She needed some relief. Oh, there's people in the house today that need some relief. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get it from your job. You're not going to get it from your favorite thing. You're not going to get it from ice cream or popsicles. You're the only way that you're going to get it is this man named Jesus who hung between heaven and earth so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm talking to you today. Listen, how am I going to get peace in my mind? Jesus Christ. How am I going to get my soul to fall asleep? Jesus Christ. Any of you ever been up in the middle of the night and just couldn't go to sleep because of the issues that ail you. There's some issues that ail us. Maybe I should retitle it, Issues That Ail Us. There's some issues that get on us and we can't seem to get a grip and we don't know what to do. We got lack of peace and lack of joy and all kinds of frustration. But if we look into the Bible in Psalms 142, the Bible says, David, this is the apple of God's eye. David prayed a prayer when he was in the cave. The cave or cavern. This word is darkness. The cave that he was in is Adullam. Adullam, it means a sealed off place. The Bible says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Have you ever done that? With my voice unto the Lord did I make supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed, oh, I've been there. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path in the way wherein I walk. Have they privily laid a snare for me? That snare means scandalon. It means to trip a trap. Have they tripped a trap in my life? Are they looking for me, Lord? I think they're after me. Oh, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Well, David, it sounds like that he's complaining. He cried unto the Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. Thy righteousness shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Here you find David, isolated, sealed off, alone. Has anyone ever been there? Some of you are there right now. But I'm telling you this, David begins to cry. He's in a sealed off, isolated, alone position. It's dark. David begins to cry. The word means to shriek with danger and anguish. He began to cry out. And he's trying to figure out his path. If you look at the verse here, you got two decisions. One of two things are going to happen. You're either going to strengthen what is weak, or you're going to let that which is lame be dislocated. Let it get worse. You hear what I'm saying? You're either going to be bitter, or you're going to be better. Boy, that explains right there 99.9999999% of the church. 999. You're going to be bitter, or you're going to be better? You're going to be bitter, or you're going to get your breakthrough? You're going to be frustrated, or you're going to have the power of God in your life? You have to determine which direction you're going to go. That's what David is doing in this cave. He cried out for mercy. The Bible said he poured forth his complaint unto the Lord. Have you ever just poured forth your complaint? I'm going to tell you, a lot of times you can't do that in church. That's why you got to have a prayer closet. Well, what is a prayer closet? It doesn't have to be an actual closet where you move the clothes and get in there. I mean, really, it don't. And if I'm going to get in a closet, that is the darkest place. That's the best place to sleep. So you're probably not going to pray. Put me some pillows in there, a blanket. What it's talking about is really praying to the Lord. He cried for mercy. He poured out to the Lord. He showed off his words to the Lord. Lord, this is all I got. There's nothing I can do without you. You ever been there? He said, I expressed myself to the Lord. It's an intimate word. It means to pour forth your complaint to God. What I found out, though, as I read this, I believe God revealed this to me. He didn't pour out to someone over here or someone over here or this person behind him. He poured out his complaint to the Lord. Well, what is David doing? He's charting his direction with the Lord. You catching it? There's a lot of people that refuse to chart the Lord's direction in my life. Where does the Lord want me to go? What does the Lord want me to do? No, we want to do it, so we just go forth, and then we wonder why it wreaks havoc in our life and struggle and problems and issues. Anybody in the house with me today? The Bible says that in David's condition, he was anxious. He was alone, apathetic. He was overwhelmed, shrouded in darkness. He was faint. He said to God, you knew my path. You knew that my enemies laid a snare before me. You knew they were after me. but in the struggle. What is David doing? He's struggling with how he views God. Did you hear me? There's a lot of atheist people that say, well, God doesn't exist until they're laying in a foxhole somewhere. Some of you have been through some stuff. In your alone time, you're struggling. What are you struggling with? How you view God? Man, that's some good stuff, because Satan wars against you. God can't do it for you. He did it for that person, but he's not going to do it for you. He's supposed to be king, but he's not your king. Man, David is supposed to be king. Think about that. David's in the palace. He has the best of everything, but he's struggling. He's isolated. He's in darkness, surrounded by cast-offs, is what the Bible said. These cast-offs come to David. And he says, God, why did you let this happen? Why did you let me go through this? I want to tell you, there's been more times as a pastor than I can ever remember where I've stood in dark places with people and I've heard this question, why? God, you know the end from the beginning. Why am I in here? Why did you let this happen? Why am I going through this? Listen, David said, there's nowhere to run. There's no man that cares about my soul. Lord, help me. Nobody cares about me. It's that lonely, isolated position when we question God. Have you ever questioned God? We feel like that God doesn't care. We feel like nobody cares. Nobody cares about me. Nobody cares about my soul. I'm talking to somebody today. David said, and I was brought very low. The Hebrew word means oppressed and empty. That's where David was. But at the bottom of the heap, at the bottom of the trash pile, when he was off tilt and he wasn't walking in the course that he should have had for his life, that's when God showed up. Listen, that's when David got his breakthrough. That's when things begin to happen. I don't care what you came in here facing today, what problems you have. What I do know is Jesus Christ will save you and heal you and transform your soul. Just hold on. The breakthrough's coming. Just hold on. Listen, the prayer is coming. And listen, it's getting to the Father. I need you to know this. Prayer without ceasing. God, I need your help. I need you to change my attitude. I need you to change the atmosphere. I need you to change the language. I need you to change these things around me. Have you ever been there? All God's people are praying people. So you just hold on, because your breakthrough's coming. Earnest, steadfast prayer. You know what that calls us? Spiritual mercies. You know what that calls us? Spiritual breakthrough. You know what that calls us? God to turn his hand. The Bible says he inclined his ear to me. Oh, I'm glad that I serve a God that will listen to my problems and my failures and my issues. I'm glad that I serve a God when I'm in the pit, I can get the breakthrough. When I'm in the pit, he'll pull me out. Hallelujah. This widow's earnestness, I guess, prevailed even with this unjust judge. She could have showed fear, but it would set him more against her. But instead, she showed earnest prayer and commitment to God. Even to the end, she showed earnest prayer. Her faith was strong. Verse 4 says, and he would not for a while. But after, he said within himself, he never changed his expression, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Breakthrough. Breakthrough is defined as a sudden, dramatic, and important discovery of development. An achieved success after certain defeat. You look all through the Bible, they go to war. At one point, this guy speaks up and he says, Father, we're outnumbered 2-1. What are we going to do? And God speaks to him and says, pray. And the Bible says that he knelt down right there. He was the king. And he knelt down right there and he began to pray. And the Bible says that they came forth to Zarephath and he ran them down. Listen, outnumbered. Listen, you may not feel like that you're going to make it. You feel like the devil is coming down at you. The arrows of hell are blocking out the sun. But I'm telling you this, God is on his way to heal you, help you, and redeem you. Breakthrough. I don't know how to get you to understand this, because most people quit before their breakthrough. Michael Jordan was asked one time ago by a reporter. He said, "How did you become the best on earth?" He said, "I don't really explain it that way." That's what Michael Jordan said. He said, "What do you mean you don't explain it that way?" He said, "People see all the shots I made. They see all the successes I had. They all see all the trophies that I had. They see all my rebounds. They see that I was Defensive Player of the Year. They see that I was MVP. They were not critical of me. I would have never got better if I wasn't critical of myself." He said, "Let me tell you, I missed over 9,000 shots in my career. I had over 9,000 failures just in basketball, but the failure didn't stop me. I was paid to be the best. I was paid to perform, and I had to be critical of myself, because nobody will be as critical of me as me." You can let what's dislocated keep you down, or you can change your direction and stand up. "I believe that God will help me. I believe that God will heal me." Well, I was an atheist. Well, I may have been too, but I'm telling you this. He healed me. He helped me. He directed me. He guided me. He set my feet on a firm foundation, and it changed the thought process of my mind. Verse 5. "Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." The key to your breakthrough is not as tough as we make it out to be. It's just not. What are you saying, Pastor? You got to have a mentality that I'm just going to keep coming. I'm just going to keep coming. I'm going to keep moving forward. Break the will of the oppressor. Break the will of that person that is against you. Listen, how do you do it? You just keep coming. You just keep coming. You just keep being faithful. You just keep allowing God to move. Listen, God puts a great premium on faithfulness. I'm telling you, listen, you may not have any talent or ability, but anybody can be faithful. And when you're faithful, your faith multiplies. God begins to allow it to grow. And when it grows, things begin to happen. Why? Because I start to believe that this Jesus that died on a cross can heal me. He can help me. He can direct me. He can change my situation. When the atmosphere seems bleak, the God of heaven reaches down into the midst of my struggle and he helps me. Anybody in the house believe that? I'm sick of having dead church. Anybody else sick of it? I think that's why you're here. I'm sick of dead altar calls. I'm sick of dead preachers. I'm sick of dead things in the house of God. God did not mean for us to be dead. He said, "You are a lively people." I don't care what you believe. The word of God tells it. It says, make a joyful noise. Stand before the Lord and shout. Proclaim who he is. Declare that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. Well, I don't like that, Pastor. You've been dead for too long. Take it to your avenger. Take it to your avenger. You may get weary, but keep on coming. You may get weary, but you're getting a breakthrough. Oh my God. This is not a nugget, free nugget. This is not in there. But when you line up people on two sides of a football, there's someone opposing your will. And you may run that ball 15 times. Well, 4 if you're not good. And that's if you take an extra instead of punting. But if you know you got it going on, you know this running back's going to kick one out. You know this guy's feeling it. You know that if we just tweak this just a little bit, and you tell that big fat slob on the corner, that's what you got to have, them big fat slob boys. Them ones that don't care, they'll eat you alive. You tell him, you say, you kick your foot out and you turn to the right. That's the boy you need. And if you'll turn to the right, we're going to break this thing. We're going to have a breakthrough. You understand? And them boys are like, okay, yeah, ooh, I'm on. And they get out there on the line, the paint's running off their face because they're trying to look like the road warriors, you know? And they're breathing hard, and they tell that boy across from them, I'm going to eat you. They may be scared to death, but you know what the coach did? He put something inside of them that they didn't have. You know what it was? I have faith that I can do what he told me I'll do. Oh, that's 10 times better working for the Lord. You know why? Because I got faith that I'm going to eventually bust through this. I'm eventually going to break one for a touchdown. Listen, your breakthrough is on its way. Maybe I should talk about football more often. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. What would it look like for the church if we really believe that? What would it look like for the church if we begin to bow down on our knees before a Savior, before the King of Kings, before the Lord of Glory? What would it look like to the church if we just begin to get in a spirit of prayer? Listen, revival has hit this place. Revival is swirling through the air. But I'm telling you this, if you get more people that are excited about prayer, I know prayer is work. See, prayer is one of those things where you pray and you pray and you pray and you're not getting a yard. You're not getting a foot, you're just standing still, but all of a sudden you go to your prayer closet and boom, there it is. Your breakthrough is right there. God help me. What would it look like if the church began to bow before the Lord? Well, Pastor, I can't do that. Why not? This little widow. You know, Sister Bells is gone, but when I read this story, most of you don't even know her. She's just a little thing. But I picture her when I read this story. And boy, she was fiery. She was 137 and a half when she went home to be with the Lord, but she had fire in her belly. And I believe that it takes someone like that to get their breakthrough. Why? Because they're determined. They're determined. That lady probably every day packed her walker in the car, threw that thing in there, got to the unjust judge walking up the courthouse, could barely make it. You think about it. Think about real life. But she was going to go there until he decided to change her situation. You hear me? Well, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm going to tell you this. There are times you've got to go before the Lord until he changes your situation. Go again. Well, that person didn't get healed. Go again. That person didn't get saved. Go again. That person, listen, God didn't do it for that person and they passed away. I'm going to tell you like this. If I pray for 100 people and they die, I'm going to go again. You know why? Because that one person might be saved. Do it again. Don't stop praying. God longs for direct contact with his people. It's surrender mode. Do you know that God is undefeated? He is your salvation. He is your victory. Don't stop before you get your victory. You may not be able to see your way through. Let God guide you. Well, what does that mean? I got to trust in him. Trust him. Believe him. Allow him to touch you. Allow him to change you. Allow him to speak into your life. Well, how do you do it? You got to open your heart to him. Watch this. You got to open your ears to him. He who hath an ear, let him. Boy, you're a good church. We need a breakthrough in our prayer life. We need a breakthrough in our mind. We need a breakthrough in our spirit. We need a breakthrough of our weakness. We need a breakthrough of our heart. Oh my God. We need a breakthrough of our worship. We need a breakthrough of our praise. We need a breakthrough to a shout. A shout. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. That's what the Word of God says. Shout unto the Lord, for he is great. The power of prayer comes like a sweet savor when you call upon the Lord. Now, I need you to note here. You got a few more minutes? There's a couple of you that are like, no. That's too bad. I was just kidding. This unjust judge wasn't going to help her. You ever met someone that wouldn't help you, but then they changed their mind out of obligation? It's not that they wanted to help you. It's not that they even like you. It was that they seen that if they would not help you, you would not stop coming. It changes the situation. So to keep you from bothering them, to messing with them, they say, okay, I'll do what I gotta do because you trouble me. Sometimes in order to get your breakthrough, you got to trouble someone. You got to trouble something. God is watching to see if you're going to continue to trouble. Do you think it's odd that the Bible says that when the men got the healing on the side of the pool of Bethesda, that the angel troubled the water? You ever thought of that? Because when trouble occurs, things change. Look at your own life. When trouble occurs, things happen. Are you hearing me? They may not even believe in the Lord. They may not trust in Him. They may not care about Him. But because of you coming and coming and coming and coming and coming, they're going to give you your breakthrough because you won't leave them alone. When you get a hold of the supernatural, the natural does not compare. We hunger for more. That's when breakthrough occurs. Now watch. When God begins to move and you get a breakthrough, then you don't stop there. Some people do. But you go for a breakout. Now watch this. Breakout. A forcible escape, especially from prison. Denoting a breakaway from a larger group to gather yourself. Luke 18:7. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him? Though He be or bear long with them, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on earth? Some of you are okay in prison. Some of you have been there for so long, you don't even know you're in prison. Ooh, that'll preach. Some of you don't even know you're in prison. You need a breakthrough because you're having a breakdown. But you won't break out of your prison. Joseph went to prison during his breakdown. That's where many breakdowns occur. Joseph had many breakdowns. I mean, you read his story, it's nothing but breakdown. But he got a breakthrough. Why? Because God was stretching him and moving him. Do you hear me? Let me keep going. I just got a couple minutes. Are you good for a couple minutes? When you realize God is with you and you don't despise your breakdown, you'll get your breakthrough. You're still not understanding. No matter what season you're in, the breakdown, the breakthrough, or the breakout, God is with you. See, that's what Joseph knew. God is with me. I'm going through the storm, but God is with me. I'm going through the trial, but God is with me. I'm going through the struggle, but God is with me. Oh, my health is fading, but God is with you. When it looks like all hope is lost, God is right there. Just like He was when you were in need of a breakdown so you could get your breakthrough. He wants you to break out of your prison. Break out. More importantly, if you're prison. Sometimes when we get stuck in prison, we need to start operating like we're free. Did you hear what I said? Because when you start operating like you're free, God realizes that you believe in what He told you. What happened for those guys in the middle of the night? He shook the foundation off. You hearing what I'm saying? Break out of your prison. Your body may be locked up. Your body may be broken. Your emotion may have you broke down. But the spiritual man has already broken out. Listen to me. Genesis 39:20-23. Then Joseph's master took him. Now keep in mind, he's in prison. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Let me go back to the widow for just a second. The widow kept going. The unjust judge did not want to help her, but he knew that she would not quit coming. She had a breakout session in the midst of trying to get a breakthrough. Just like Joseph, the widow had favor in the fire. You hear me? You got favor in the fire. Favor ain't fair. God ain't fair to those who don't know him. But he's going to take care of you every time. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how broken you feel. I don't care how much. Some of us need to shout and praise today. We need to allow God to walk down our aisle. I know you're sitting next to the Statue of Liberty, and they won't uncross their arms, and they won't praise, and they won't worship. But you praise, and you worship, and you say, God, walk down my aisle. I need you to move. All right. You got to proclaim the gospel. Listen to the people. This is just a few. Jared, would you come? He wants you to break out. I'm coming out. Joseph said, I'm coming out. David said, I'm coming out. Esther said, I'm coming out. Moses said, I'm coming out. The Bible is full of people that broke out of their spiritual prison. Stop taking the expectation of the devil and running with it. Start experiencing the breakthrough of God in your life. I'm breaking out. I'm coming out of this. I will not remain the same. I will not allow the devil to keep me down. I am moving on with the presence of God. Break out of your depression. I'm going to ruffle some feathers. Break out of your homosexual lifestyle. Break out of your spiritual slothfulness. Break out of your weakness. Break out of your problem. Break out of your financial issues. Break out. Come on out. God is speaking to you to come on out. You don't have to be stuck in that situation. You don't have to be laid down in the midst of the problem. Come out of there. Stand up. Rise up. Declare the name of Jesus. Let him move. You can be wounded. You can be hurting. Listen, it doesn't matter what you are. You can be an alcoholic. You can be a pornographer. You can be bisexual. You can be homosexual. You can be a whoremonger. You can have HIV. Whoop. Everybody got quiet there. God does not care as long as you come out. Well, I can be a murderer. God will take care of you. Moses was a murderer, and he was the best teacher the Bible ever knew. Come out. Well, I feel worthless. I feel hopeless. God has a plan for your life. He wants to come speedily and break you out of your problem. What do I got to do, Pastor? I got to rejoice through my circumstance. I got to rejoice through my struggle. I got to rejoice in my prison. I got to rejoice in my breakdown. I got to rejoice in my weakness. You hearing me? Can I just end with a couple scriptures? Luke 18:8. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will we really find faith on this earth? The last thing Jesus said, will I find faith? God puts a great premium on it. Faith. Satan wars in the mind. His tactics are simple. He takes your faith so you don't believe. Why do you think faith is so vital? That's why God puts a great premium on it. Heaven and hell put a great premium on it. Can you just listen to what the scripture says? After this, I want you to stand with me. And then we're going to pray. Now listen to me. Normally I say it this way. If you don't want what God has for you, just stay in your pew. But I believe that there are people in this place that can't seem to get their foot out and take that first step. And I believe that God wants you to have breakthrough in your life. I don't get up here just to preach you words of man's wisdom, because I'm going to tell you, I'm not very wise. I want to preach you the word of God. Now, this is what the scripture says about your faith. John 5:5. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture hath confined all under sin, that the promise by faith is Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Matthew 21:21. So Jesus answered and said unto them, assuredly I say unto you, if ye have faith and do not doubt, you'll not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever thing you ask in prayer, believe and you will receive. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith, oh, this is my favorite, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtained a good testimony. For by faith we understand that the worlds were framed from the word of God. From the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Everybody stand with me. Don't stay where you're at. Pastor, I need a breakthrough. I need to step out. Would you let us pray for you today? That's what this is all about. The reason that you came, you may not feel like, well, I didn't come for an altar experience. I didn't come to the front of the church. But I'm telling you, the reason that you're here is so that you can step into your breakthrough. God wants to move. I'm going to tell you, as good as or as bad as I preach, you don't need me for God to move. Let's pray. Would you come right now, dear Heavenly Father?
Thank you for joining us. Please like our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. God bless and have an amazing week.